Blog Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
He said he was playing.
What time is
broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news that's related to boxing. We'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Let's get started with it, Habib. On DAZN, Ryan Garcia versus Oscar Duarte, 12 rounds, junior welterweights. Ryan Garcia stopped Oscar Duarte in the eighth round. Garcia looked pretty good, man. Duarte was game, came to fight. He was trying to bring the fight to Garcia. But, you know, Garcia to me was just too fast, a little too slick, just a level above Duarte. It was a good comeback fight for him. I'm not sure what this fight really showed, though, to be honest with you. I think that, again, man, I think that Garcia is really good. But, you know, again, this is a good comeback fight for him. Oscar Duarte was going to come forward, kind of custom made for Ryan. He's going to land that shot. He landed those hooks, put him down, and then now – he got up. Now, when Duarte got up, there was some controversy, you know, at the end. Duarte got up, but as he raised his hands, he's falling into the ref. You know, he raised his hands like he's okay, but if you watch him get up, the ref has to back up because he's falling forward. He's coming toward the ref, and the ref said, no, that's it. And then Duarte protests and everything like that, and then I've seen a few people online say, hey, this is a bad stoppage or whatever. Listen, it was over. The guy waited till 9 to get up. He was on his way up to 10, so 9.5, I getcha. He was up before the 10, but he was not ready to fight. You could see it, and you could see him again. He's coming forward. Now, I mean, you know, he doesn't know where his balance is gone, and he would have gotten knocked out the next series of punches, because Garcia would have definitely finished him. Listen, he gave a good account of himself. He says he wants a rematch. That ain't going to happen. He gave a good account of himself, but he was just not on Garcia's level. That's just, you know what I mean? There's nothing more we can really say about it. He wasn't on his level. And I know that people were calling him a live dog. I saw the trainer or whatever, one of the trainers or whatever came in and said he was a
Roberto, live dog. Roberto Diaz, the former matchmaker for Golden Boy Promotions. I guess he's very familiar with Duarte, and he was on one of the roundtables with us. And he seems very loud. You know, I'm going to say something. And it was kind of bothering me yesterday because everyone has their pet peeves. Some people, like last week, Nacho was talking about the clinch fighting, how he didn't like it and how it aggravated him. And he's not a big fan of it. So everyone has like their pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is I can't stand it when a fighter turns his back to his opponent or turns his head away. Like this.
Yeah.
And then his opponent hits him, and then the fighter will be like,
right.
Oh, and then the ref was warning Duarte and admonishing him for that. And then you got these idiots, Sean Porter and Sergio Morris, saying, oh, well, he's trying to do the shoulder roll. That's not a shoulder roll. He's turning away and cowering away from Duarte like this. You know what that reminds me of? You know what that reminded me of? Back in the day, right, when I got in trouble, and Beep Sr. knew about it. He was on his way home, and I knew I was about to get whooped. And Beep Sr., I kicked that door open, right, and he would come at me, getting ready to unleash the whooping. And that was the move that I would do, a defensive tactic. And I was 10 years old. I didn't call that a shoulder roll when I was 10 years old. I called that cowering away from Beep Sr. because I didn't want to get it beaten. That's what that was. You know, and then you look back to last week with Andre and Benavidez, and this is why the referee makes all the difference in the world. Because Andre was leaning forward, bending over and stuff, and on occasion, because of that, as a result, Benavidez would hit him on the back of the head, and he would be complaining to the ref, right? And the ref would say, you're creating your own foul. Don't lean in. Don't bend over. So Ryan Garcia was cowering away, turning. He's flinching, going like this. And me, he looked gun-shy. He didn't want to get hit to the body.
Right.
And again, no one likes to get hit. We say this over and over and over and over again. But some fighters are just more overly concerned with it than others, and they become tentative and gun-shy as a result of it. And they become, as D-Style likes to say, very negative. When have you ever seen Ryan Garcia backpedal away from somebody like that? Yeah. You know, and I'm just going to say this. He was very, very fortunate that Duarte wasn't really that quick on his hand, with his feet and with his hands. He wasn't the quickest guy in the world. So he was able to, you know, to be as effective as he was because of the lack of speed from Duarte. But when Duarte did touch him a few times, he looked a little bit uncomfortable in there, you know?
Yeah.
I thought Duarte won two of the rounds. But, yeah, I looked at that performance last night, and I'm saying to myself, if that's Subaru Matias in there and he's doing that shit,
yeah.
Subaru Matias is going to grab him by the shoulder, pull him like this. He's going to fucking destroy him.
Going to maul him.
He's not going to beat Teofimo Lopez. I don't even think he beats Haney or freaking
no.
Prograis.
No. We saw him in a big fight. We saw what happened.
We know where the ceiling is now. And here's another thing. The gall of this guy sitting there complaining, still complaining about all the terms to that Tank Davis fight. Oh, well, you know, he had that catch weight. It wasn't fair. I went into it injured. Meanwhile, what do? You take a guy who's a career lightweight, right?
Right.
And you bring him up to 143 pounds. You don't even fight him at 140 pounds.
143. Catch weight of 143, yeah.
So the irony and the hypocrisy of it all is just astounding, right? And then after the fight, the whole world's against me. They wanted me to lose. If they wanted you to lose, you wouldn't have been in there. You wouldn't have been in there with Duarte.
Right, right.
You would have been in there with Matias. You would have been in there with Tio.
Yeah.
You would have been in there with somebody else.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been in there with Duarte if they really wanted you to lose. So stop with this fucking fake outrage and all this drama. It's just ridiculous, bro.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute because that was actually better than the fight, in my opinion, anyway. Prior to the fight, De La Hoya stated that he was worried about Garcia's state of mind because the fight was at a catch weight of 143, not 140. Also, leading into it, Garcia accused Bernard Hopkins of backing Duarte in the fight. The situation, honestly, is just like a complete mess. I don't understand it, man. Do we know how many fights he has left on that Golden Boy contract? Because, I mean, honestly, let's be honest, he ain't re-signing, you know?
Well, De La Hoya said we got him for a long time.
Well, that was dumb. De La Hoya needs to let that guy go. Because I think that, honestly, you know, if you're De La Hoya, you've seen a ceiling, okay? That's number one, because we've all seen that ceiling. There's still money to be made, but that money is going to be very limited as to what he's going to be able, who he's going to be able to fight and beat and, you know, that kind of thing. Will he go up? Can he beat Romero? Yeah, he's going to beat Romero.
That's a pick-em fight, man, because Rolly can punch. Rolly won more rounds against Tank than Ryan.
Rolly did fairly well against Tank, I thought.
I'm going to say something crazy. Because Rolly can punch and because he doesn't care, Ryan's definitely going to be favored. Without question.
Yeah, for sure.
But to me, it's a pick and fight. Ryan is so flawed, bro. And he looks so damaged right now. The way he talks, I'm telling you, man, that he was basically flinching like this, turning away. You can't do that, bro. You can't do that, man, if you're gonna win at the top level.
Well, I tell you this. It was in the second round where he went down against Tank, right? Talking about Garcia?
Yes.
Second round, Tank dropped him with that right hand, right?
Yes.
All the weight cutting, all the nonsense, all this stuff that you're complaining about, it's not going to hit you in the second round. You're still on adrenaline in the second round. You know what I mean?
An excellent point.
It's not going to hit you in the second round. You know, if you're going 8, 9, 10, you know, your adrenaline, you know, and you know this as well as anybody, like when you're full of adrenaline, you can get out there 20, 25 minutes, maybe 30, That's it. And at some point, that adrenaline's gone. Now you have to focus on your stamina. Now you have to just rely on your stamina, how you've trained, everything else like that. You know what I mean? In the second round,
and then
he was completely outclassed in that fight. Completely outclassed.
And then the blasphemy that I heard from Sean Porter was saying, oh, well, Floyd Mayweather invented the shoulder roll. So if you want to learn how to do the shoulder
roll, who said that?
Ask Floyd Mayweather. Sean Porter.
Oh,
so somewhere, Archie Moore, Sugar Ray Robinson, Charlie Burley, Georgie Benton, Ezra Charles, they're all rolling around in their graves right now after listening to what Sean Porter said.
He's an absolute airhead.
How Floyd Mayweather invented the shoulder roll.
Shoulder roll.
And then him and Sergio Mora. It's a bad impression of the shoulder roll, but at least it's working. So, I mean.
It's not an impression of it because it's not a shoulder roll.
It's not a shoulder roll. It's turning around and flinching away
right. And
cowering away from your opponent. It's illegal. It's illegal.
You know how difficult the shoulder roll is to learn and how many times you're going to have to get hit in order to do it effectively? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's something you have to – it's not something just anybody can just do. It's something that has to be practiced and practiced and practiced it again.
And you and I have been very critical of the zone, you more so than me.
Yes.
But here's why I get angry with the zone. The fights aren't that bad. You don't like the fights. I'm a little bit more tolerable towards the fights than you are. Fair enough. What really aggravates me about the zone is this. I can't stand the commentary. I can't stand the production. Last week, Katie Taylor and Chantel Cameron, right? They had that controversial so-called knockdown, which I didn't think was a knockdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they showed the slow motion one or two times, right? And they showed it from the worst possible angle where you couldn't see anything, right?
Yeah.
Now, you remember when Daniel Dubois hit Usyk with that shot? ESPN, which has phenomenal production,
yeah. They
showed you that instant replay about 10 times
yeah. From
19 different angles, so you got to see everything.
Right.
Their camera angles, their instant replays, they don't even go in the corners enough so you can hear the trainers. The production sucks. The commentary is outrageous. They're just horrible.
The commentary is awful. I don't understand.
Bad.
Why don't they go after, like, say, a Jim Lampley or something like that, or even an Al Bernstein now that that's all over with?
Yes.
You know, I mean, go after one of those guys. Get Sergio Mora out of there, man. Get him out of there. Get that other fool out of there, whoever's up there. You know, he's awful. You know, I really don't understand why they didn't get those HBO announcers. I really don't.
And Sean Porter is, like, the worst. Like, you know what's funny? Chris Mannix was the only one that said,
it looks like
he's a little bit gun shy in there. He's turning away. Seems like he's concerned about getting hit to the body again. I don't know. And he even asked him that after the fight. And he's the non-boxer. And he's the only one that can see what's going on. And you have the two boxers in there saying that that's a shoulder roll.
They don't need two boxers on that panel. That's number one. They need a good announcer.
So
they need a good color guy. And then they need a boxer on there. You know what I mean?
Sean Porter is just so corny, so goofy.
Yeah.
Brings nothing to the table.
He's
doesn't
awful.
Say anything ever insightful.
No.
Ever.
Nope.
You know, I miss Andre Ward. I miss Roy Jones.
Man, Andre Ward was they need
he
to
was
bring
so
him
good.
Back, man. He was really
he was
good.
So good. I'm just, maybe he didn't want to do it. Maybe he just didn't want to do it full time.
I get that. I think that that's probably it.
Yeah, he probably
honest.
Wanted to do other things. He probably wanted like an abbreviated schedule and they wanted to be more committed.
Well,
committed with dates and stuff.
Yeah, if he wants an abbreviated schedule, get on the DAZN schedule. That's abbreviated as you get, you know?
But I was screaming at the television yesterday seeing that referee warn Duarte. When this guy's going like this.
Right.
That's not a shoulder roll. That is turning your body away.
That's not good. No.
That is cowering away from your opponent. Then the crowd started booing him.
Not to mention, when you turn that far back on a shoulder roll, how do you get yourself back in position to punch?
That is not a boxing stance or position that is not.
You know, and it's hard. I mean, like I said, again, you still have to, you know, as a shoulder roll, and you're kind of to the side. You're more turned toward the side with one hand up, one hand down, and you still have to launch that right hand. So when you have to turn, you know what I mean? So you have to kind of keep yourself in position, because if you make a miss by too much, you're way out of position. You've got nothing but a jab that may not reach him.
I'm just going to say it. He looked gun-shy last night. I mean, the ending to the fight was
fair. And that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
And the ending to the fight, he could still punch. We're not going to take that away from him. He's a decent counterpuncher, too. It was a nice timed, short little left hook. I'll give him credit for that. Right?
Yeah.
And again,
like you said,
Duarte did get up at 9. But he was in no condition to continue, so I have no problem with stopping.
No, he wasn't. No, he got rocked. I mean, he was definitely rocked.
He didn't have his legs under him.
He was getting touched up. I mean, let's face it. He was getting touched up all night. There's no question about that. He was getting touched up all night.
He was losing the fight. I mean, for sure. I had him winning two rounds. Like I think I gave him like two back-to-back rounds, but after that, Ryan just took over again. Because the thing was, he just wasn't fast enough. Ryan was so much quicker than him. It's like, okay, maybe the guy can punch a little bit, but if you're not quick enough to get in position, and you're not quick enough to land those shots with your hand speed, then again, it's not that big of a threat. Like Tank is quick.
You can have all the power in the world. If you can't land that power.
Yeah, Tank has speed. Tank has precision. Tank has timing, right?
Right.
So that's a different ballgame.
Well,
you're never going to beat Tank. You're never going to beat Tank.
No. And you know what? I mean, in with Duarte and stuff, you know, like I said, he's heavy-handed. He's got the big punch. He's not going to be able to hit Ryan. You know what I mean? He wasn't able to hit him. So there's nothing, like I said, man, there's nothing he could have done. If maybe he should have went to the body more, I guess, you know.
How are you going to go to the body more when the guy's going like
the guy's turning around, right?
Every time you go to the body, he's going like
this. Now, the referee, I will say this. You know, I wasn't a big fan of the
referee. Yelling at him.
Right. And the referee did seem a little bit, you know, kind of the house referee kind of thing.
He's the house referee.
That being said, that had nothing to do with the knockout. It had nothing to do with that stoppage. Because, like I said, he got clipped with that hook. Goes down and he went down. He was stumbling. You know what I mean? When he got up, like I said, and he waited till 9. You don't really see that too much, that he waits till 9, jumps up and falls forward. Again, he's got his hands up like he's okay, but he's clearly falling forward. So he's not okay. That was a good stoppage. You know, as much as bad of a job as the ref did, I believe in that fight, I believe that was a good stoppage.
And any time a fighter gets up at 9, 9 out of 10 times the ref's going to stop the fight because he's going to say to himself, if this guy couldn't get up at 8.
Right. Or 7 or something like that, take the 8.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're going to get up past the 8 count, then apparently you're hurt bad enough where you may not be able to continue because it took you so long to get up.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
Ryan Garcia, after the press conference, shook De La Hoya's hand and everything like that, and I don't know that anything is forgotten or forgiven. I just, it's a saga, and I think it was Outlaw that posted in the chat that he's got under contract till 2026. So if that's the case, maybe you look to buy it out. Maybe you look to, I don't know what you do, you know.
And you just made $30 million, so I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much he made, but, you know, again, you made a comfortable living. You know what I mean? You've made a comfortable living off of that fight.
Supposedly he's saying he made $30 million against Tank, so.
Yeah, I don't know what he made for this fight. He probably made a few million for this fight. You know, who knows?
Probably made a couple of million, who knows?
But, yeah, because he's a draw. You know, he's a draw. Like it or not,
he's a draw.
He's a draw. You know?
We tell the truth there. The guy can still draw.
Social media and everything, he's a big time. He's big time with the casuals. And people that know him, the people that follow boxing know who he is.
Yeah.
You know? And he's not a bad fighter. You know, him and Raleigh, it's going to be a good fight. I favor him. You know, I know you favor Romero, but I think it's a good matchup for Ryan.
I favor him. But I still think Raleigh is live because he can punch.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And Raleigh was live against Tank. I told you guys Raleigh was live against Tank. I said, man.
Raleigh did a lot better against Tank than Ryan did, and that may not mean anything. I know you like to, you like to say combat math doesn't always work.
It does.
And I agree with you. And I agree with you. But at least Raleigh, I think his mentality is a lot different than Ryan's.
Yeah.
Like he's not gun shy. Like he'll go in there and fight you.
Yeah.
Right. And he's not the slowest guy in the world either.
He's got some pop, and he can fight a little bit. He can fight.
He's a little bit explosive, you know what I mean?
Inexperienced, but he can fight, and he's explosive, and he's dangerous. He's a dangerous guy.
I think he is.
Dangerous guy. It's funny that you brought up combat math. I was talking to my son, and we were having a debate this morning about the football, the NCAA, the four teams that got in. And he said, well, this team beat this team. I said, yeah, but that's sports math. Sports math doesn't work just because one team beats it. There's different styles, different matchups, different things happen.
Pulling up the combat math. Pull up the math analogy on me, huh, Dad?
It's funny. I'm horrible at math. Lisa's the math teacher, but I'm horrible at math. So it's funny that I always bring up
math. Huh?
Lisa's great at math. Yeah, she really is. I wouldn't have got my master's without her, man, with her helping the math, you know. So she's pretty good.
You, man.
She's pretty
good. Shout out to Lise, man.
She's good, man. Undercard, and I tell you, in full disclosure, I didn't watch a DAZN card. Didn't see it. I saw the two big fights on DAZN, and we'll talk about the big fight next, but or the other big fight after this card. But saw the Ryan Garcia fight. I didn't see the two undercard fights. But, and I'm not going to pay for it. Again, this was one of those things. This was, now, was this worth $25 a month? Yeah, I guess, it was a good fight, good card. I think it was a good card. But I'm not paying $25 a month for it. I'm just not going to do it, If they put together a string of fights, like I said, in December, and I get this December, that's what it is. I might. I don't know because I'd like to see the Joshua fight, but is that on pay-per-view too, or is that just on regular DAZN? They took that off pay-per-view, right?
It's on pay-per-view.
Get out of here. The Joshua card? No, it's not.
Swear to God?
No, it's not. Hold on. No.
It is.
Come on,
B.
Stop it.
Like 40 bucks.
Stop it.
Like 40 bucks.
No, it's not. Don't do this to me.
I swear to God.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
That fight is 40. Oh, stop.
You know, ESPN Plus.
God.
ESPN Plus had this boosted parlay, and I was so tempted to play it. But I was concerned about Ryan, and I didn't play it. If you took Garcia, Mosley, and Schofield, and bet them in the parlay to knock out all score knockouts, the parlay was a +650.
$1. What is it? 100 gets you 650.
100 gets you 650.
Yeah.
And I didn't play it. And I'm like, I can't Monday morning quarterback it because I would have
been concerned about Mosley. That would have been my point.
I was concerned about Garcia and I was concerned about Schofield.
Really, Schofield? You were?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's that up and comer, man.
He's good, but sometimes he's a little bit hot. He's like hot and cold sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Shane Mosley, let's talk about this one. Shane Mosley Jr. versus Joshua Connolly. Shane Mosley wins by TKO when the fight was stopped after the sixth round by Connolly's corner. B, tell me a little bit about that fight.
So Shane Mosley is nothing like his dad. He's like a poor man's version of his dad. You know, he does have some snap to his punches. He is athletic. He's quick. But he's just not fluid, right? He just doesn't put the shots. He doesn't put the shots together as well, and he's just not as seasoned as his dad was. I think he's going to always be that.
When did he start fighting? He didn't start fighting until what late?
I want to say
was he like 16 or 17 or something like that?
I don't remember how old he was, but.
Because that's fairly late. I'll be honest, man.
Yeah,
that's fairly late. Unless you're a heavier guy.
He's still rough around the edges, and he doesn't like. Sometimes he just thinks too much in there, and just doesn't let the punches flow, and he's a little bit stiff and tight and robotic sometimes. And even Shane was saying yesterday, when they went to him in the crowd, and they were asking him, how do you think your son's doing? He goes, he just looks a little bit tight, looks a little bit stiff. I don't know. There's just something missing with Shane Mosley Jr. Like, he can punch a little bit. Like I said, he's athletic. He's quick. But
he's 25 fights, though.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have it by now, he ain't got it.
Yeah, he's got four losses.
You know?
32 years old. He beat Gabe Rosado. You know, he lost to Jason Quigley by majority decision.
He's not bad, but he's not upper echelon.
He's not contender status. For him to be a champion, he'd have to pick up like one of these vacant titles. I don't know if he could be champion. At this stage, I don't think he'll ever be champion.
Only way he could be champion is if he fights me for one of these belts. All right, he'll beat the champion by me. All right.
You know, he could pick up a vacant title maybe, but I don't know. I just don't think he's got it.
No, I don't think so either. No, you know, 21-4. He's 21-4. Okay. And if we're looking at him and saying he needs to improve on this, he needs to improve on that, there's a lot of rough edges. Listen, that should be polished out by now. We should be like looking at his style and saying, hey, this is what he does or this is what he doesn't do well. He should do all those fundamentals well.
Yeah, Joshua Conley, like he was hitting him, but he couldn't finish him. The reason why, you know, the corner just threw the towel in. He retired on his stool.
That guy was done.
He just couldn't finish him.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he'll ever be like a – I don't know if he'll be a world champion unless he picks up a vacant belt because that division is weak, but I don't know. He's not beating a Jenna back, you know what I mean?
No. He's not beating anybody with any real upper echelon guy.
He's not beating a Carlos Adames. He's not beating any of those guys.
No, I don't think so either. And I mean, like I said, man, and there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. I mean, listen, he put it together. Listen, this is a son of an absolute legend, Hall of Famer, Shane Mosley, right? Goes in there, makes a career 21-4. How many kids really eclipse their fathers and stuff like this? Especially in boxing, where
Floyd's like the only rarity, I think.
Yeah, even senior though wasn't great. If you think about it, he wasn't great. No. He wasn't a great fighter. He's not a Hall of Fame fighter.
Was.
You know what I mean?
But Floyd was Floyd's better than him. Usually, like a lot of times the son can't outshine the father. But Floyd was like the outlier. He's like the rare occasion.
You think of the genes that guy had in his family, Roger Mayweather, you know, Floyd Senior. Who's the other guy? Who's the other guy in Las Vegas? The brother. What's his name?
I'm trying to think.
Guys, help me out in the chat. Who are the three Mayweather brothers? I know. Jeff, Roger, and Floyd.
I didn't know you were talking about the Mayweathers. Yeah, Roger, and Floyd. Yeah, Roger was the best out of the old crew. Yeah,
you know,
Jeff Roger.
And we always talk trash about Chavez Jr., but let's face it, hey, Chavez Jr. held a legit title. And he was a legitimate champ. And he had Sergio Mora rocked in that 12th round. So, or not Sergio Mora, Sergio Garcia, excuse me.
Yes.
Rocked in that 12th round. You know, that guy could fight a little bit too. He just didn't have the, you know, I don't know. Didn't have it. You know what? I'll tell you, you know what's funny though? When I watch David Benavidez, that is what Chavez Jr. should have looked like because he's got the same build as Benavidez, right?
Yeah.
And he's got, I mean, you watch Benavidez, he's like Chavez Sr. You know, he just keeps it going and going and going, man. Sergio Martinez, thank you, D-Style. Yeah, so that's, I mean, you know, that's what I think anyway. Floyd Schofield, let's talk about him, B. 16-0 now, I believe. Floyd Schofield versus Ricardo Torres. Walked over this guy, knocked him down four times in the first round, ended up with a stoppage, knockout, whatever.
They got to step him up. He was calling out JoJo Diaz, and that would be a nice step-up fight for him, you know?
Yeah, I think it is time for him to step up, you know. What about that other guy that Floyd's got? Floyd Mayweather, Kermel Moton, is it? Is it Kermel Moton?
Yeah.
And he's fairly new. I mean, he's only got a couple of fights under his belt, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he only got two or three fights. I think he had two fights.
Yeah, let me see what he's got
here. Two or three.
Box Pro, 2-0. All right. Yeah, he's had about two fights now. He's 17. That's yeah. who a lot of people are hyping this kid up. He was 48. I guess, let me see, what was he in the amateur? I think 48-2 or something like that in the amateurs. He yeah. was a good amateur, yeah. Solid guy. That's the guy they're hyping up. So that's, you know, keep your eye out for him. But how many times, I tell you what, you know, like how many times have we seen guys that have been hyped up as young yeah. guys and their prospects that are coming in 8-0, you know, 4-0, whatever, knockouts, and – You know, this sport ain't all that easy, man. It's a deep sport.
Well, Moten fights at 126, but he's young. He's only 18 years old. He definitely yeah. probably will go up to 130, 135 before it's all said and done. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a nice up-and-coming prospect, man, for sure. Let's talk about this. DAZN, I guess, and I don't know if the card was earlier or later. I did see the fight, but I didn't see the card.
It was early.
It was early. This was the Jordan Gill versus Michael Conlan.
Yeah,
this was in Belfast, Ireland, B. Jordan Gill wins via TKO over Michael Conlan in the seventh round.
Yep.
B, this was a tough one to watch, man. The announcer said it early, and it was true, man. Michael Conlan's punch resistance is gone.
It is.
All right. Gill hurt him in the second round, hurt him many times throughout the fight. You know, listen, man, Conlan had his moments in this fight because he can still fight. You know, he can still punch. He can still box. He can move. Everything is there. You know what I mean? Like, everything is there. But I think that – I don't know that his reflexes are gone, but the punch resistance is definitely gone.
You know what it is? He does his best work when there's space. He fights – he's a great outside fighter, and he's good offense. He's okay offensively. He's capable – he's a capable inside fighter offensively, but he just can't defend on the inside. He gets hit with too many short shots up close. And if you notice, when Jordan Gill – collapsed the pocket on him and got on his chest.
Yep.
He was doing the damage with the short yes. right hand. Then he had that little chopping left hook that came over the top. Anytime this guy runs out of space, he has problems.
Why don't they right? teach, why doesn't he create space though? He's got the movement.
I think he likes to mix it up. I think he likes to
problem.
Change and mix
that's
it up.
His problem.
He did it with Lee Wood. He was boxing his
yeah.
boxing Lee Wood very well from the outside.
All he had to do was keep him at a distance.
And then he just gets that a little bit brave, and he
yeah.
wants to get in there and grind it out with guys, and that's just not his game. He could do it in spots, but he tries to do it too much. And then you can argue maybe it was Jordan Gill's foot speed that closed the gap on him, and he couldn't keep him off him the whole fight. So, but it just seemed to me that he was too willing to exchange up close.
I
and
don't
that's
understand
where he
that.
Was,
yeah,
that's where he appeared to me to be the most vulnerable. I think he should have probably tied up a little bit more on the inside.
Yeah.
And then tried to like force Gill to reset and then back out and then just try to try to use the jab and just try to pot shot him from the outside, because that's where he was the most successful. And that's usually where he is the most successful, when he's on the outside. All his knockouts are from when he gets up close. You know,
yeah.
So he's got to learn how to freeze the action up close.
Yeah.
But he's not the strongest guy in the world either. So when he does wrap guys up, it's hard for him to contain them.
Yeah.
I just think he's not the most durable guy. He's not the strongest guy in the world. He's a quick guy. He's got quick hands. He knows how to place his shots pretty well. You know, but he just is not strong and durable and doesn't have the punch resistance. He has an amateur style.
Yeah.
He has an amateur style, and it just
some people
not
never come out of that. Look at Zhu
yeah,
Shiming, you know, Zhu Shiming
yeah.
from China, you know, that he never came out of that style.
Yeah. His style just didn't translate. His style just didn't translate well into the pros.
Yeah. Tony Ayo says this is the Irish Olympian Conlan. Yeah, there's a guy from Top Rank who flipped off the judges in the Olympics. That's kind of like his
yeah.
big claim
yeah.
to fame, aside from what's boxing. You know, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he just, you know, mixes it up too much. And I don't understand why, like, nobody said, you know, like his handlers and stuff. But I guess they, you know, listen, if I'll tell you this. I think if you and I are thinking it, it's already been proposed. Because they're handling this guy. You know what I mean? They're with this. You know what I mean? All his handlers, the stuff that we're thinking about, I'm sure they propose. And I'm sure they may have even tried it in camp. But when he gets hit, he goes back to what he knows, not what he's learned.
Yeah. He likes to fight.
Yeah.
He likes to fight.
Yeah. But, you know, you and I have seen it in the past. sometimes that could lead to.
And this is why I love Lee Wood, because in the Mauricio Lara rematch, what did he do?
Boxed.
I'm not gonna go in there with my ego and try to get back with try to get my get back off with this guy. I'm gonna box this guy. I love Lee Wood because of his versatility and his mental toughness and his discipline.
Lovely.
This guy can make adjustments in the fight. I love Lee. He's one of my favorite
One of my
right
favorites.
Now.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Him. One of my favorites. Last year had the fight of the year, you know, knockout of the year, whatever you want to call it. Both, I mean, he's an amazing fighter, man.
This guy is he's a great guy, man. He's just a very strong, positive. Like you can't nail this guy down. Like he just won't give up.
He reminds me a lot
he's
of
not
Gatti.
A quitter.
He reminds me a lot of Arturo Gatti. Where, you know, he's always dangerous.
He never gives up on himself.
He's always dangerous in that fight.
Never.
You know?
Never gets discouraged. He just always believes he can win. I love the guy.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about the that was it for the action this weekend. So let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Let's see what we got. December 9, which is Saturday. On ESPN Plus from Florida, ESPN and ESPN Plus, Robeson Ramirez versus Rafael Espinoza, 12 rounds for Ramirez's WBO featherweight title. Xander Zayas on the undercard versus Jorge Portilla, 10 rounds junior middleweights. Bruce Carrington versus Jason Sanchez, also on the undercard. Richard Torres Jr., the American Olympian heavyweight, against Curtis Harper. That's a good fight. That's a pretty good fight, yeah. Let's see what else. All right. And then the big one on DAZN from San Francisco, California on DAZN pay-per-view. They've got two pay-per-views, Beeb, in the month of December. They had one fight. Okay, so you have one fight on that platform right now. Two pay-per-views in the month of December. The Jake Paul fight, is that going to be a pay-per-view as well?
Great.
Oh, well, hey, let's sign up for that. Jake Paul.
I love it whenever it kicks his own ass.
Jesse Bam Rodriguez versus Sonny Edwards. That's a good fight. That's a good fight.
Good. That's good. You got to give DAZN credit for that one. Look at his face. I knew I was going to elicit that response out of you.
Josh Kelly versus Rourke Knopp on December 16th on DAZN.
Great one.
Yeah, that's a great one, yeah. For the two families involved. Yeah, that's great. And then, of course, ESPN, now ESPN Plus, Naoya Inoue versus Marlon Tapales, December 26th. You know what's missing? There's no January 31st or January 30th. January 31st in Japan.
Yeah, you're right.
They got to have something, right?
We'll see, but maybe.
They got to have something.
Maybe one of the other guys will fight.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this?
No.
When you look at the when you look at the schedule this year and all of the platforms,
yeah,
can we agree that ESPN and ESPN Plus gave us the most bang for our buck this year with all the fights?
Absolutely, and that includes Showtime pay per view, and that includes the Spence fight. I get you. Yeah, more bang for the buck.
Bang for the buck.
Listen, man, I mean the best fights were on Showtime pay per view. I don't think there's any question.
The biggest ones, yeah.
The biggest ones, yeah. You had Ryan Garcia, Tank. Spence, Crawford, you can't, it is what it is, man. But overall, if you're paying for stuff and you're paying for platforms and everything, ESPN hit it out of the park.
We got all those fights from the UK, from ESPN. We're getting fights from Japan.
Yeah.
That we free. Normally wouldn't be.
Well, not free, but they're with the subscription.
Very, very low subscription price in comparison to everyone else.
Yeah, what is it, $10?
I think it's, like $10. Maybe.
If you pay the $10, you get that, you get Disney, and you get some other Hulu, maybe?
Yeah, I have Disney, and I have I think I pay $8 a month for mine.
Yeah.
So I pay like $96 a year. Pretty cheap.
Tony Ayo asked, will Ringside Reporter do an end-of-the-year award show? I hate end-of-the-year shows. I hate end-of-the-year, like, award shows. But there's really nothing else to talk about, so yeah, we'll probably do it. No, we will. Steve likes them.
We do what you guys want us to do. Man. That's
right.
One of the rare platforms out there that give you what you want.
Right.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
Yeah, come on. We got a lot of people watching. Come on, just hit the like button. That's it. Come on, man. I'm not asking you to work in a coal mine. I'm not asking you to lift anything, any heavy rocks or anything like that. No bricks.
You can go get us a cup of coffee or anything.
Right. All you got to do. See?
We're not asking you to do
that.
Like, we're not sending you out to get us a dozen donuts and like Robbie.
A latte, you know.
Like Robbie eating like two of them after he brings them. Two of them are gone by the time we get them.
Why is that? That always happens. Did you notice that?
He's a rat.
Every time he brings the stuff, there's always stuff missing.
He's like a pigeon.
A pigeon? Jesus.
He's scavenging the little bastard.
Oh, Lord. All right, speaking of Robert, let's bring him on.
Robert, let me ask you a question before we get started.
Oh, here we go again.
I want to ask you, when you were a little kid, when you were a little kid, right, and Mrs. Herrick would come at you with a wooden spoon, did you turn away from her like Ryan Garcia was turning away from Oscar Duarte yesterday? Did you turn your whole body away, cower away from Mrs. Herrick to come at you with a wooden spoon?
Hell yes.
You know that's not a shoulder. You know that's not a shoulder roll what Ryan was doing yesterday, right?
When I heard those two idiots, and I gotta say this, when I heard those two idiots say that, I'm like, what planet are you on? You know?
I love when we hear his dog barking in the background.
Well, I don't know what she's barking at. That's the issue. She barks at her own shadow sometimes.
I mentioned Mrs. Harris.
I could not believe it when those two idiots said that last night. I'm like, you two have been in the ring, and you're claiming that's a no. That broadcast last night was one of the worst that they've had. I mean, that was god awful. You know.
How many check hooks did Sergio Moro call last night?
Oh, Jesus.
How many check hooks? Because every hook that's thrown is a check hook. Did you know that, babe?
Yeah.
Does he even know what a check hook is?
I don't think he does.
I don't think he missed the plot.
You know, since the Showtime people are going to be unemployed soon, I would like to see DAZN pick all those people up because, I mean, at least those three guys, Moro, Al, and Abner Morris, they know how to call a fight, and they don't get in each other's way. You know?
Yeah, I used to like. I like them. I think they're the best broadcast team. I'm gonna miss. Here's one thing HBO and Showtime have over all these platforms. They had good broadcast teams. They were good. Max was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm
shocked,
you know,
that the HBO guys never came back. And nobody got them back. I am shocked that DAZN didn't get them. I don't know if they wanted too much money. They just didn't want it, you know, whatever. But Jim Lampley, to me, was the best announcer out there. He was better than Moro Ranallo.
That is correct. You know, that's
you know,
correct.
Max Kellerman was good. I thought Max Kellerman was good.
Yeah.
I thought Roy Jones was great, you know, in there, you know.
And, Eric, I totally agree. I miss Andre Ward, man. Somebody's got to give him a microphone.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know, I understand ESPN had cutbacks and they had to lay people off, and he was one of the casualties. But he didn't deserve to be a casualty. He's damn good at what he does.
I disagree. I don't think he was a casualty. I think that my guess was that he walked. I think he just let his contract end and he left. I don't think they fired him. I don't think it was anything like that. If he wanted to come back, trust me, he would have been back.
I think it was more of a scheduling thing. Maybe he didn't want to. He wanted to do less dates.
Well, you saw that, it. That, well, that, you saw that, it because he was doing fights from his home.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing them on, like, you know.
He may not have liked all the traveling. He probably wanted to spend more time with his family. So I kind of think it was more along that line.
Yeah. Well, you may have a point, but this week, guys, he's going to have a fight literally in his backyard because. With the Chase Center being used for the Poirier Haney fight, that's in San Francisco, and of course he lives in Oakland. That's, you know, they're right next to one another. I hope they. From what my understanding is, the 20,000 tickets have been sold for that already. And if the crowd really shows up like that and they have a good time, I hope they bring more fights there because from my understanding, it's a very good arena. That's one of the ones I have not been to yet.
You going, Robbie?
No, but I already paid for the pay-per-view.
Why don't you go? It's right there in your backyard, right? Or no, you're about 3 hours. No, he's about 3 hours from
I'm about
Sac
4 hours,
right?
I'm about 4 hours from San Francisco, yep. About 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was too, but he's like way north. He's like on the border of Oregon or something like that.
Guys, I'm closer to Oregon than I am to, you know, major cities in California. I'm about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from the Oregon border.
Why don't you just take an Uber, Robbie?
4 hours.
Well,
number one, the
pay-per-view was cheaper than the tickets, so that's what I did. So
yeah, no lie.
Here we go again with the budget.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. But, I hope it does well because I'd like to see more fights come back. Because remember the days when Sacramento
–
Sacramento used to have tons of fights. Especially at the Arco Arena, you know, and stuff like that. So, it would be great to have fights back here again. You know,
remember the Cal Palace in San Francisco?
Yep. Yes,
Cal Palace.
Yeah, that was always big too.
Yep, and I'm telling this fight is getting a lot of media around here, so that's good to see. Very good to see.
Yeah. That's good because you don't see that a lot. I mean, especially like in the Midwest and stuff like that. We may have fights around here, but we don't see a lot of – I don't see a lot of advertising for them at all.
All of the Bay Area radio stations, and I guess the TV stations too, are promoting this fight big time, guys. There's a lot of press.
That's awesome.
So, you know.
So are you paying for this fight? Are you paying for this fight?
Yeah.
You want to watch it on pay-per-view?
I already paid for it. I already got the receipt. I'm ready to go. So, yep.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm going to have a hard time.
You're going to buy it.
Paying for this, man. I don't know.
You'll buy it.
That card is lousy, dude. That card is really bad.
Eric, I agree with you. The card sucks, but I'm buying it for the main event.
How much is that card? How much is that card?
It was $60.
How much is it, Robbie? Like?
$60. Yep.
How much?
$60. Yep. I'm not watching that. And the Saudi Arabia card.
Regis Pro Grace. Here's that card. All right, because they're fighting December 9th this weekend.
Yep.
Regis Pro Grace versus Devin Haney. Great fight. Really good fight. Okay.
That's what Pro Grace is.
WBC junior welterweight.
Yep.
Undercard. Thankfully, Ebony Bridges is off the co-main. Liam Paro versus Montana Love. Montana Love from Ohio, by the way. Andy Cruz versus Hector Tanajara. Beatrice Fiera versus Destiny Jones. This card is the drizzling you-know-what. It sucks.
Eric, I didn't pay
the
for the
only
undercard.
Good fight on there is that main event. That's the only good one.
I didn't pay for the undercard. I paid for the main event. Simple as that. And the Saudi Arabia card on the 23rd, that's 8 fights. And it's only $40, so.
What do you must be rolling it over like Robbie Trump? It's only $40. Only $40?
Most of the pay-per-view,
Mrs. Herrick for an advance on the allowance, but she takes care of it all. Yeah. You know what he does.
Give me a break.
It's not like he's paying for them.
Of course
Herrick's
I am.
Mrs. Herrick's buying all of them.
No, she's not.
She's financing everything.
No.
All right, Robert, we're going to put you on hold. We'll come back to you if we need you.
Okay. Get that rat out of here.
Oh, stop it. What's the matter with you? 718, New York, 718, you're live.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Raphael from New York.
Raphael, what's going on, man?
What's up, Ralph? How you doing, man?
Good, man. So just doing a quick quick recap on, I guess, Garcia. I mean, I know that a lot of the times boxers change trainers in order to do revamp not only their skills but also kind of like mental confidence. But it's going to be extremely difficult for Ryan to lose those bad habits. Even though his new trainer is kind of still trying to teach him on how to keep his hand up and his chin, he still pulls away, and those are things that probably he didn't really got out of the way of doing when he was in the amateurs, and he's still doing. So I don't know if that's still going to be lingering 3 or 4 fights in. So, I mean, he's going to have to cash out soon, because if he gets matched up regarding in facing another really good opponent at 140, which is swarmed with opposition, and when you got Subriel, Matias, Teofimo, and a bunch of other elite 140-pounders, he's going to get exposed, and potentially, you know, you might not be making as much money anymore. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
I think he's spot on. I mean, dude, he's got a ceiling. No question.
He's definitely going to be matched carefully. And if you are going to put him in there with someone tough, make sure he's getting paid for it. Make sure it's a mega fight like Tank.
Yeah, and he'll have one mega fight. He'll have another mega fight, I'm sure. You know, like, he'll beat Raleigh. He'll get a couple of soft defenses. And then they'll set him up with somebody or something like that, or maybe he'll move up, or maybe, you know, they'll keep him active enough.
I feel like the best opponent that he can definitely make really good numbers with, even though numbers wise, he hasn't really proven much, but given Ryan Garcia's kind of like eyeballs with his social networks and everything, I think Devin Haney can definitely do numbers, and he's not risking as much given that Haney doesn't really have that punching power. Like, he may lose on the cards, but it might not affect them pretty much as far as, like, you know, being another Instagram meme or social media meme on getting knocked down like that. But not quite sure how many. Do you guys know how many fights he has still left with Golden Boy?
I don't, but somebody said he's under contract till like 2026. So yeah, I don't know, I have no idea. So I'm just going by what somebody in the chat said, Outlaw in the chat. But yeah, I have no idea. You know.
Yeah, I think what someone was saying, not someone, it was actually Juan Manuel Marquez that mentioned that he has to look at the contract carefully, because the minute that you do win a title, the contract with the promoter automatically renews for another term. So you have to kind of check on the small print just to make sure that isn't the case and how you protect that. But I don't know. If I was the promoter, I would try to be very, very careful matching him up, because he's still, it's not even that shoulder roll thing that he was doing, because that's the first time that anybody has seen it.
It's not a shoulder roll.
Just say
the way he was turning away from his opponent.
He did it one or two times with Tank, but I'm talking about him pulling away. As someone is getting too close to that danger zone, instead of putting his hands up, it's almost like you do it by instinct. Like, it's something that you can't really teach and try to get rid of. It's gonna take a very, very long time to get rid of that, but to me, you got to match him up with a Devin Haney or someone that really doesn't really pack a punch, and see where that goes. Yeah. Trying to maximize your earnings as long as you got right now.
I agree. All right,
guys,
we're going to get going, man.
Call.
Thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely, guys.
All right, man. Thank you, brother. Good call, man. Good call. Clarissa says that Haney and Reeves will probably do around 50,000 pay-per-view buys. Yeah, I think so. I think that estimate's a little generous, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because, look, nobody knows who these two guys are. They don't. They're not household names. Again, for me, if you're going to put a guy on pay-per-view, he's got to be at least on his way to being a household name.
Yeah.
Neither one of these guys are household names. Nobody except us. The casual fans don't know who these dudes are. They don't know who they are.
I'm a little surprised they put this on pay-per-view, to be honest.
I'm shocked they put – listen, man. Why would they put this on pay-per-view?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's 30K easy. That's like everybody who works at the Zone. That's about it, you know?
That's funny.
All right, let's go to 805 California. Have you live.
Wake up, Nacho. Steve. Come on.
Steve, I can't believe that you're actually right for once on the fact that that was not a shoulder roll. That literally was him not wanting to get hit in the stomach by Duarte.
Right for once.
Right.
And
what do you mean right for
fact,
one? Even a busted clock is right twice a day, you know.
The fact that
I'm like a
the fact that, that referee
here, I'm like a
the fact that that referee was over here like warning Duarte about hitting him like behind the back and like the head, he was also like bending down to avoid getting hit. You cannot say that's an illegal punch to the back of the head or to the back
powering.
If the guy is literally
powering Nacho. It's called powering. I don't mean you. It's called cowering away from your opponent. Like you're a millennium. You're a millennial, so you probably aren't familiar with getting hit by your parents. I don't know if your parents hit you because you're probably a millennial. But that's the classic defense mechanism when you're a kid trying to evade getting a whooping from your parents.
Yep.
That's not a boxing.
Well,
you do that in
boxing,
exactly. You get thrown out.
And the fact that they are
allowing
him to get away
with it.
The fact they're allowing him to get away with it was ridiculous. I was like, how is that not illegal for him to keep bending down and acting like he doesn't want to get hit, but yet every time Duarte would hit him to the body or to the side, it was an illegal like punch and the refs warning him. And yet Garcia hit Duarte with multiple low blows and rarely warned him. I was like, come on. Like, he had to fight both Garcia and the ref. It was ridiculous, but I mean, you know, to me, he looked terrible, Beeb. I'm sorry. He won the fight, but he looked awful.
Really? You think
I did. I thought so. I thought he – because he was doing his best Shakur Stevenson
me,
impersonation.
He looked gun-shy.
He was doing his best Stevenson impersonation in there.
Yeah, I watched that performance, and I said to myself, there's no way he beats a Matias. He doesn't beat a T.O. I don't even think he beats a Haney or a Prograis.
No, but we thought that, but in fairness, though, we kind of thought that before this fight. No. After that tank fight, we all said he's not beating Haney, he's not beating Prograis, he's not beating any of those upper echelon.
But you know what I took away from last night's fight after reassessing it after that performance? I at least thought he could have made some of those fights competitive. Now I think he gets blown out in all of them. Go ahead, Nacho.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I'm on the same viewpoint. If before the fight last night, I thought maybe he might have a shot, but after watching him struggle with a blown up lightweight, no, he gets beat up by the best fighters at 140. I think he's gonna end up eventually trying. They're gonna eventually try to get him that Rolly Romero fight. Because that's the easiest guy out of everybody there. Everyone else, you keep him away from. You don't put him anywhere near Matias. You don't put him anywhere near Teo. You don't put him anywhere near Prograis or Haney. Like, Rolly has to be the one guy, for sure that they go after. But, yeah, like you guys are saying, he's going to be matched carefully the rest of his career, and he might, you know, get a few more paydays here and there. But he is who he is at this point. He's a guy who's an attraction, but he's never going to be like a pound-for-pound level type guy. So, you know, he is who he is. In regards – what happened?
No, go ahead. This comment
about Ryan from Scalebender. Ryan's shoulder roll looked like a wasp had flown in the ring as he was heading straight for his face. He's right. He's right, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looked like, man.
That's hilarious.
Go ahead,
yeah.
Nach.
And, yeah, just on the fight this weekend, I think, you know, a lot of people are picking Haney, of course, to win that fight. I think Prograin has a legitimate shot to pull this one off.
Yeah.
Every time that
he fights a guy, he's solid, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time that he goes into a fight as the underdog, he always rises to the occasion. Like when he fought Joel Diaz Jr., a lot of people thought Diaz was going to beat him. He went in there and he beat him. A lot of people thought that Jose Cepeda could beat him, and he went in there and he dominated Cepeda. And I think Saturday he's going to do the same thing. I think Haney bit off a little more than he can chew with this one. I think he picked Prograin thinking that Prograin is the guy that he saw fight against Zoria, and that's the guy that's going to show up Saturday, and I don't think so. I think he's going to he's really going to make it a tough fight for them, and he's probably going to end up winning that fight. I think he has a legitimate shot to win that fight. And lastly, you guys were talking about Michael Conlan. I just think it's time for Conlan to look in the mirror. I mean, he's gotten multiple title shots. He hasn't been able to get over that hump. And losing to a guy like Gil, who legitimately is just like a European-level guy, I think that should tell you right then and there that it's pretty much done. He really shouldn't be, back out there unless he wants to become a stepping stone for some younger up-and-coming guys out there. So, all right, guys.
Yeah.
I'll
that's what's
talk to you
be.
Later. Yeah.
All right, Nacho.
All right, Nacho.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
yeah, he's right. He's 100% right. And I tell you what, man, Regis has a great chance to beat Haney. I favor Haney, but, man, Regis is so good. And you could argue he's unbeaten. You could argue, you can make that argument. Because I thought Josh Taylor won the fight. I scored the fight for Josh Taylor. Thin, razor thin, 7-5. But you had it for Prograin. You had that fight for Prograin. A lot of people had that fight for Prograin as well.
That was razor close.
Yeah, a lot of people had that fight for Prograin as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, did you see, this is a good one. Omar Rodriguez asked, Eric and Beeb, did you see much Derek James imprint on Ryan, this besides the corner work? No, I really didn't.
I'm not a big Derek James fan.
Yeah, I mean, he looked, to me, he looked the same. He looked the same. Maybe, like you said, was he gun-shy? Yeah, I guess he was gun-shy, but he looked more cautious to me. I guess that's gun-shy. I don't know.
Yeah,
he did look more cautious to me, but, Clarissa, you're 100% spot on here. I think Ryan and Golden Boy Beef was the main reason that the fight had so much coverage, not the fight itself. You're 100%. Parkside said he doesn't think Regis is that good. Well, hey, we're going to find out, man. I tell you what, we're going to find out. If he beats Haney, we know he's the real deal. And then come Sunday, Haney will suck again. Haney will be the worst fighter ever. Overrated, we told you. 410 Baltimore. Jerry, you're live.
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
Hello. Yeah.
What are you eating, man? What are you chewing on?
Pringles.
Pringles. I tried those new taco-flavored Pringles. Those are pretty good, man.
Nah, I didn't see them. I would have got them. They sound good.
They're pretty good.
Oh, you're eating beef jerky over there or something.
Here's what I got good to say about Ryan and on the other side. The good thing, I think, is a couple things. One, he could have got in there with, like, an older dude to come back with or some old worn-out dude or a real feather-fisted guy. I understand this guy's a lightweight, but he looked like he had good sight. He looked like a strong fighter, and he could have picked a much softer opponent. And for those people who don't think Ryan is a real fighter, they need to understand a few things. One, Ryan had more amateur fights than Devin Haney. He beat Devin Haney 3 out of 6 times in the amateurs. Now, it's amateur boxing, but it's not amateur bowling. They were boxing then, too. And you're not going to be a scrub and beat Haney half the times you fight him, amateurs or not. Now, So that's what I would say good, and add to the fact that if we're to believe that Ryan made the money he made against Tank, he could just say, fuck boxing. If he wasn't a real fighter, he could just take that. That's walk-off money that he made there. Straight up could just retire and say, that's that. And he didn't stay out too long. I mean, he's fought. I don't think Tank has fought since that fight. And so he didn't stay out, you know, too awful long. So that's what I got to say good. What I got to say bad is the first thing is I don't like the catch weight. The last thing boxing needs is miniature weights inside of the already too many weight divisions, in my estimation. We got enough weight divisions. You know, Ryan, after he fought Tank, he said he was moving to 140. He didn't say he was moving to 143. I don't like that. It shows to me, because you guys know as well as I do, that it's those last 3 or 4 pounds that really show if a fighter is dedicated and willing to sacrifice and really willing to do what they need to do. It's those last few pounds. And basically showed that he wasn't willing to do it. Now, I know there was no title on the line, but still, it shows to me what's been rumored about Ryan is a lack of discipline, and that kind of tells me that. And also, of course, that ridiculous thing that he was doing with the Philly shell, turtle back, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I've seen that defense before, we all have, but he was turning too far away. And the ref, like a jackass, was warning the other guy. You've seen it. You said it. This is how you know boxing is still corrupt from top to bottom. That was a house referee. He was warning Duarte for taking the only shot he's got because, like you said, dude, this guy's turning away. Now, why was he doing it? It ought to be pretty obvious. That rib is not right yet. I rewatched the fight again last night on DAZN, and I noticed that Ryan didn't start doing that until about the fourth round. So he caught something over there, and if you've ever broke or even bruised your ribs, that's a lingering injury. Even when it feels like it's better, it doesn't take much for it to hurt again, even leaning on a chair a little too long, anything like that. So he was doing that so he couldn't take any punishment to that side. And so that's something to consider. And then lastly, the stoppage. Nah, that wasn't a good stoppage to me. I'm old school. If a fighter makes it to his feet at 10, you at least tell him, okay, how many fingers am I holding up? Walk to the right. Walk
sure, he was
to the
falling
left.
Forward.
You give him an aptitude.
He was falling forward.
Well, that I don't know that. Because
he was falling forward.
The ref quickly got close to him and, like, hugged him. So I don't know if he would, you know, what he might have done.
Oh, go watch it again, man. He was coming forward. The ref was actually backing up.
I don't need to watch it. I've watched 40 years of boxing.
You should.
If I think...
I hate when he stops with that.
I've been watching it for years. Nobody needs to go rewatch this.
I hate when he stops. I've been watching boxing since the Stone Age days. I hate when he does that. Go ahead, Derek.
Well, the bottom line is you can have your opinion and I can have mine. And my opinion is if a fighter makes it
right,
to
though,
his feet,
that's the thing.
If a fighter makes it to his feet within the count of 10, unless his eyes are like literally rolling around in his head, which typically is not going to be the case if he's getting to his feet. If he beats the count, you do just what I said, and that's what the refs are trained to do. Step to the side. How many fingers am I holding up? Because you're quickly going to be able to tell right then with a level of confirmedness that, okay, this guy's unfit to continue. That's not what happened. The guy got up to his feet at 10, and the ref waved it off. He waved it right off. He didn't give him any chance to say, step to the side. Now, if he steps to the side and he stutters, okay, boom, you stop the fight. Okay, fair enough. But he didn't give him that at all, and I'm not for that. I'm just not for that. Back in the old days, they would have never have done that, especially the old days, which where, you know, they didn't stop fights when they should have. And, you know, I mean, it would probably be just the opposite. But I'm just saying that there was house reffing in the during the bout and the stoppage, boom. That was more house shit, in my opinion, because he didn't give him the benefit of the doubt for any type of aptitude test to see if he was fit. He just jumped as soon as he got up. You know, now, Duarte deserves a little bit of blame for not attempting to stand up until it was at the count of nine. But the reality is you had to
the
count of 10. Well, you had to the count of 10. If he didn't have his faculties,
right,
he wouldn't have been able to stand up at all. You see, so he clearly
had his
faculties.
Because he was falling forward.
Well,
yeah,
that's what you think.
He was wobbling all over the place.
He was wobbling all over, man.
He didn't have his legs underneath him, Jerry.
Right.
His nose. He was going to get knocked back down in like minutes.
You ever see Arturo Gatti fight? Have you ever seen an Arturo Gatti fight? Just for one example. You're going to tell me you never seen a fight against
Bob? He's an outlier. He's an outlier,
Jerry. Did you see Tyson Fury get knocked almost unconscious, get up at nine, and be allowed to continue?
He got up. And he got up.
This guy got up,
Jerry.
What?
At five.
What?
This guy got up at nine. And he was wobbling.
Tyson Fury got up at nine.
He got up at five.
No, he did not.
Jerry, go back and watch.
No, he did not. He was on his back at five. You're tripping, bro.
He didn't get up
See,
at
this
nine,
is why
Jerry.
We have problems.
He didn't get up
you guys
nine.
Just want to, like, lie or try to just say something that ain't true. When it's right there to see. Anybody can go watch that Fury knockdown. Okay, you got up at five, right.
This is why I'm a king of Baltimore.
That's why there was no controversy, right, about people saying that it was a long – right, he got up at five. No, he got up at nine.
You know why there was controversy? You know why there was controversy?
I know exactly
because
why.
Because people put a 10-second watch up there, and
yeah,
they were looking – and they thought – they think a 10 count is 10 seconds. It's not 10 seconds. It's a 10 count.
Yep.
That's
exactly
why there's controversy.
Remember the Tyson-Douglas fight? Remember the Tyson-Douglas fight where they're trying to say the long count? You know.
Well, I'm not people.
Right, Jerry.
I watched him make the count, and he was up
at
nine.
You're not people. What are you, a cyborg? You're not people?
Cyborg.
What are you, a robot? You're not people?
All right, Jerry, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for
the
call.
Okay, you've been on
this is why I'm the king of Baltimore, stuff like that. Omar Rodriguez says, in Jerry's world, the 10 count completes when the ref gets to 11. The ref was in a hurry to stop the fight. Yeah, a lot of people thought it was stopped early, but I'll tell you this, man. When he got up, he was shaky, okay? And that's not a reason. That's, you know, that goes in the ref's head that to stop the fight, yeah. But when the ref was walking, you could see him walking forward, and the ref was walking back because this guy is going to fall right on top of him. And that's why the fight was stopped. You know, so. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. The WBA, Beeb, has joined the WBC with an 18th weight class following Friday's introduction of a super cruiserweight division for boxers between 200 and 224, also known in the WBC as the Bridgerweight division. Good idea, bad idea?
My thing is this. I always thought that they should have the cruiserweight stay at 190. And because the problem is you have 175 to 200. That's too much of a jump.
Yeah.
That's 25 pounds. So you should have just left cruiserweight at 190. And then, you know, anything after that is heavyweight. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's just dumb. You don't need an extra weight. You know why they're doing this? You know exactly why they're doing this? I know why they're doing this. Sanctioning fees.
More sanctioning fees, yeah.
Yep. And then we can advertise more titles. We can put more titles with promoters. They can pay us. They can, you know, they can sell fights because it's, you know, people like title fights. You know, give me a break. Jaime Munguia and John Ryder will fight January 27th. Beeb, I cannot think of a worse fight. I can't. This is awful. Jaime Munguia and John Ryder, are you serious?
You don't like this fight?
No, I don't. Not at all. Not even a little bit. When is Jaime going to step up and fight somebody? You think John Ryder beats him?
He could, yeah.
The Sun could turn into a brand muffin tomorrow also. But after watching the fights for as long as we have, Beeb, we kind of know what we know. Do you think Jaime Munguia beats John Ryder?
I'm picking John Ryder because...
You're picking John Ryder?
Yeah, 100%. Sergey Dergivinchenko almost beat Jaime Munguia. He lost by a point. It was even in rounds, right? And he needed a knockdown in the last round just to eke out that decision. Or the fight would have been a draw. And that's Sergey Dervinchenko at 38 years old. So John Ryder is a decent fighter, man. I think it's a close fight on the odds too. He's like a plus. John Ryder is like a plus 200. He's only like a 2-1 underdog.
Where is this fight taking place at? This is going to be in the States, right? This is not going to be in England.
I think it's going to be. Let me see. I'm not sure. I think it's going to be maybe California. I'm 100% sure.
Yeah, John Ryder's not winning this fight.
Yeah, and, see, I'm not that sold on Jaime Munguia, to be honest with you.
I'm not sold on Jaime at all. I'm just saying they're feeding him guys that they know he can beat. He's going to beat John Ryder. When are they going to step him up? Let him fight somebody. Get him in a marquee fight, man. Get him in a marquee fight.
Do you think now that this fight's on January 27th, do you think he's going to be able to turn around and fight Canelo in May in 3 months?
Yeah, why not? Why not? He's not going to fight Canelo. I'd be surprised if he fights Canelo.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to fight Canelo.
He's not going to get that fight.
Because everyone keeps saying that he's the next guy for Canelo in May. I don't think so.
No way.
So where is this fight? It's in Phoenix, actually.
Yeah, that's it.
It's in Arizona, yeah.
Not to mention, are they going to do business with Golden Boy? Are they going to fight somebody from, you know what I mean? Are they going to fight him?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Canelo and Golden Boy aren't on the best terms. I mean, their money changes a lot of stuff. Don't get me wrong.
I think Benavidez may be next for Canelo. I really do. I don't think so. Who else can he fight?
Charlo's. Fight the other Charlo kid.
No, I don't think he's going to fight the other Charlo.
Why not?
I don't think so.
The other Charlo, Terrence Crawford. Go down. You fight Terrence Crawford. All those fights, those money fights.
Terrence Crawford is going to be him and Errol Spence are probably going to rematch in either January or February. And Canelo's going to be fighting in May. I think it's going to be Benavidez, man.
I hope you're right. I want to see it. You know what I mean? I want to see him in Benavidez. I hope you're right. But I just got this funny feeling that fight ain't coming off.
I'm going to tell you the truth, Eric. I think this is a tough fight for Munguia. I really do. He's no joke, man.
Munguia will get this guy. I don't know if he gets him out of there, but he wins a unanimous decision. John Wright, no way.
Did you see Munguia's last fight against Dervinchenko?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I saw John Ryder's last fight, too.
Against Canelo?
Yeah.
This ain't Canelo.
We've seen John Ryder fight, too. I know this is not Canelo, don't get me wrong. But we've seen John Ryder fight, too, and I'm not that impressed with John Ryder. Who?
He beat Zach Parker. He beat Zach Parker.
Stop.
It's going to be a tough one, man. I'm telling you. It's going to be a tough one.
Stop.
All right, you'll see.
Let's pie bet. We'll do a pie bet on that one.
I'm going to take Ryder, man.
I'm rolling with mi gente. Jaime Munguia. Going to make us proud. There you go. And some sad news, man. Lennox Lewis's mother, Violet Blake, passed away this morning, according to Lennox Lewis on social media. Our condolences go out to him and his family. He always had her at the fights. He had her at the Tyson fight. He always had her at the big fights, man. The Lisa Ruddock fight, I remember she was there. He always had her there. So that's always tough, man. Always tough. King KO says he can see Benavidez fighting Jamal next.
Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah, like I said, man, Benavidez, if anybody deserves it, it's Benavidez. He deserves that shot. He's beat everybody they put in. He's beaten some big guys, big names put in front of him. You can't say he hasn't fought nobody. He's fought everybody they put in front of him. It's time to pass that torch, man. He's the guy right now. I really do. Now, listen, whether that translates to him being the guy when he beats Canelo, because, look, Bivol beat Canelo. You know, it doesn't translate into you being the new guy. And I don't know if he's got I don't know that he's got that fanfare to be the next guy.
That's tough.
That's tough, man. That ain't an easy thing to do, man. And you know, again, we talk about like Floyd and like Canelo and stuff like that, and they're on this different stratosphere. Sugar Ray Leonard, another one, on that different stratosphere.
Yep.
De La Hoya, same thing. It's marketing. It's all advertising. It's him getting out there. You know how difficult that is? Just getting out there every day, doing these interviews, doing shows and, you know, just
like
crazy
Terrence
stuff.
Terrence Crawford, right after the Spence fight, he did the podcast tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Went on Joe Rogan, yep. Went on the Breakfast Club. He was everywhere.
Yeah. So, yeah. See, it's not easy to do, man, and not a lot of people are willing to do that. You know, everybody wants, you know, we say this all the time, everybody wants Floyd money, and you may be as talented as Floyd, but again, it's not easy to do. You have to have the right marketing behind you. You have to be willing to do all this stuff. And Floyd was on, like, what, Dancing with the Stars or something like that out there, you know, and you know what I'm saying? So, and he became like a household name that way. That's when most people knew him. That's when most people started to recognize him, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, man.
What do you like next week? Do you like Haney over Prograis, or you like?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Haney beats him. I think it's a good fight, though. I really do. I am tempted to buy it. But $60 for that in just one fight?
I probably suck.
I just suck.
You'll buy it. Curiosity will get the better of it.
Yeah, right. that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, it's going to come. I'm going to watch a couple pre-fight videos or something like that, or some hype videos or something like that. Yeah, I got to see it now. You know, now I got to watch it.
If Robbie can go into the change jar and scrap up enough coin to buy this one, you can.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Oh, geez. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. You can catch Joe Habib on X or Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com, and you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. Guys, we will see you next week.